Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and we're just trying to make some quick adjustments, and I can tell Casey that John White is going to be our visitor. Nick got called into a meeting, so I didn't realize Nick was working today. Usually, to the holiday Mondays, he's off, but he said he had a window, but he got dragged in, so. We, unfortunately, no John, Nick, which is too bad. I wanted to, because I did want him to look at, and I'll reach for it as we wait for John. The racing today, I mean, it's pretty much a regular race day. Gulfstream, where the feature is a 7.5 turf allowance, type, the eighth race, nice big group of 12, some familiar names in there, like Projected, now with Eddie Keneally, Monarch's Glen, Danny Gargan, Valley Rocks with the Mop. So that looks all right. Some like it Hot Brown, who's got to be about 14 by now, right? No, he's maybe 5. Some like it Hot Brown in that race. The New York action, highlighted by the Interborough, one of two stakes today. You've got the Megahertz at Santa Anita. But the Interborough, group of 8, and Seguro Row for Stidham, you know, certainly going to be the favorite and potentially heavy favorite. A couple of nice options in here, but Seguro Row, Our Circle of Love, Michelle Nevin, quite acceptable for Samantha Siegel. And we should mention, speaking of Samantha Siegel and John White joining us now, so perfect timing to bring up Ms. Painter with the win yesterday in the Grade 3 Astra, Brian Corner. So Sam looking to back-to-back stakes opportunities, and Our Circle of Love, very, you know, very possible in here for Michelle and for Samantha. But it was yesterday. Nice price too, with that upset, right? John, good morning.
Yes, it was a big day for Brian Corner. He had 3 wins on the card, yep, including the Astra Stakes, a race named after one of my favorites from the past. Astra was really something special, and Rhys Blanc, to me, one of the more, I hate to say underrated, but, I mean, he's kind of an unappreciated rider. I think he's a very talented rider, has been for a long time, and I think Rhys Blanc is one of those riders. You give him the ammunition, he'll get the job done, and here was a victory in a Grade 3 race, going 1.5 miles on the turf, and really a good training job by Brian Corner there, and that was kind of a tricky race. We got kind of a tricky feature today. I think this race today is really, I had a real difficult time with the morning line on that race today. I have no confidence in what I did in that feature race today at Santa Anita. where we've got fillies and mares going in the grade three megahertz, but because Caressa might get some play, I was trying to make her four at the highest. I ended up at 5-1, and she's coming off a huge win, but she's first-time turf, so that's why at the last minute I raised her price to balance the race. Brill had everything her own way last time in the Lady Shamrock, but you know, she really proved that she likes the turf. That was her turf debut. She's got Mike Smith, and she was highly thought of earlier in her career, so she's certainly a major player in the race today. I made Super Patriot the favorite. You know, Richard Baltus horses get pounded so much at the windows, and you've got Joval Rosario, who is now back from his trip to Saudi Arabia. He couldn't make it yesterday, so he was replaced all throughout the card yesterday. But Super Patriot is in really super form, just keeps firing time after time after time, and really has a good record on the turf at Santa Anita. I made her the favorite, but she might not go favored. You know, you've got Keeper of the Stars, who ran such a big race in the Autumn Miss, and really looked like, you know, she was going to be maybe a force in this female grass division in Southern California, and then she laid an egg in the red carpet, but the turf was a little soft that day, so maybe that had a reason why Keeper of the Stars didn't run too well. But then she came back in the Lady Shamrock and was a heavy favorite and couldn't catch Bro. But, you know, you got to respect Keeper of the Stars, especially off that Autumn Miss. She could possibly go favored. And then kind of a wild card in the race is this Take These Chains. And, I mean, I was all over the map on what to do with her. She ran a good second last time out in the My Charmer behind a graded stakes winner, but she was a big price in that race, 20-1. She has run in Southern California before. The last time she was here, she finished fourth in the Buena Vista, and was 12-1 in that race, so she hasn't been bet all that much. So I was even maybe thinking of making her around 4 or 5-1 something. I ended up making her 8 to bring down these other horses. But very tricky race today, this 1 mile megahertz stakes, to highlight the Martin Luther Day program. But I think the most attention on today's card, you had alluded to earlier, a lot of excitement about today's opener at Santa Anita, because Merneith is a very highly regarded American Pharaoh filly from the Bob Baffert Barn, expensive auction purchase with a glittering workout tab. And like Nadal yesterday, she has to break from the rail. But I think sometimes people overreact to that rail business. I heard some people talking yesterday, they were not picking Nadal because he drew the rail. Well, they live to regret that. You know, the rail, Bob Baffert just seems to be a magnet for that rail, though he draws it so often. But this is a very nice filly. I shall have to deal with Gadetta from the Baltus Barn, who ran a very good race first time out at Del Mar, daughter of Fast Anna. She'll be tough. But this Merneith is very, very highly touted coming into today. I made her 6-5 on the morning line. She'll probably go shorter than that, I would imagine. But I don't want to get too carried away, because sometimes I make a Bob Baffert horse, if you make him like 4-5, and then for some reason they kind of go softish. I mean, you just never know. So, but that's one of the real exciting things about today is that first race.
There's no doubt. And Merneith, that I mentioned earlier, and of course the cleverness being the, you know, the tie to Egyptian royalty and Egyptian history, very cool. So we'll keep we'll look forward. That race goes off at 12:30 Pacific, so 3:30 Eastern on a very, you know, very full day of racing. Laurel, Gulfstream, Aqueduct, Fairgrounds. I mean, pretty much all the Santa Anita, all the big tracks. Actually, I don't think Tampa's running today, right? I think Tampa's off today, or maybe I know Golden Gate is running as well. So What's going on there, John?
Oh, printing PPs, even as we
I was going to say, it sounds like the printer. The printer's running. Yeah, you go. Exactly.
Well, that was right. Right. By the way, since you're going to have one of my favorite guests coming on, Mark Cassie, who had really what a wonderful weekend he had, I'm very excited. I have a top 10 that I have at ExpressBet.com each week in my column, or virtually every week, but also for the Los Angeles Times newsletter. And I have a Mark Cassie trained 3-year-old, Untitled, who I have on my top 10. At the last William Hill odds, he was 125-1. But we talked about Nadal with this 98 buyer speed figure for his splashy debut yesterday. And that win by Nadal with the 98, Untitled got a 98 in his career debut against Florida Breds at Gulfstream, and then was sold privately, and now Gary Barber, the majority owner, and Untitled headed for the Swale Stakes. But I'd be very interested if you could get Mark Cassie to talk about Untitled. He had a gate drill here over the weekend while Cassie's there in Florida. And that to me, he's a very intriguing horse on the Kentucky Derby trail right now for Mr. Cassie. So I'll be interested to get his thoughts on Untitled.
Absolute. And one of the names that has people keep bringing up. I do want to mention, actually, now that since this Nadal storyline is obviously going to be followed, the debut of Exalted was quite okay. That Twirly Candy that came running late.
Very good effort, no doubt about it, for CRK Stable that, already has a top horse on the Kentucky Derby trail. Honor AP, who had a big scare, had to miss the Sham Stakes, but the last report from Ed Golden in the Santa Anita notes the x-rays were negative on Honor AP, and he did get back to the track and was jogging at last report, but that was last Saturday, so that was a little over a week ago, the last report.
Nice.
So there hasn't been any follow-ups that I've seen by the racing form or Santa Anita publicity, but at least the last report on Honor AP was promising, considering that Honor AP, who is, here's another very highly regarded horse. In fact, Jeremy Plonk has him number one on his top 20. So that shows you how highly regarded Honor AP is. And so that's for the same ownership here, CRK Stables. And you're right, Steve. That I was watching that Exalted very, very closely because they are very high on him at the Peter Urton barn. And of course, Peter's got Storm the Court in his barn, who's the Breeders' Cup juvenile winner in that shocking upset that will likely be the Eclipse Award-winning 2-year-old male. I make him the favorite to get that award this coming Thursday when they announce the Eclipse Awards for 2019. And Lane Way, what came into that race yesterday against Nadal and Exalted, very highly regarded from the Mandela barn, too. A little bit of a disappointment, but not too bad, really. I mean, it was a third. It's a race he can build from, too. And, again, I know there are real high expectations for that Spendthrift Farm runner. So that's been our strongest 3-year-old maiden race that we've had so far at this meet by far. I mean, there was really a lot of anticipation going in there. And I'm really glad you pointed out the ride, too, for by Diaz on Nadal. He was a substitute for Rosario, who didn't get back from Saudi Arabia. But I know Baffert really likes the way this youngster rides. Baffert's very high on him in terms of his riding ability. So, and that's good enough for me. One thing about Baffert that's kind of funny is, he was a jockey himself, but not a very successful one. And even Baffert's the first to kind of admit it. And when I worked as a steward at LeBlanc Park in Idaho in the 1990s, one of my co-stewards at one meet was a guy that had seen Bob Baffert ride. And he says, when you get back, talk to Baffert about his riding, because he says he'll be the first to admit he wasn't exactly the next coming of Bill Shoemaker or, Eddie Arcaro or somebody.
No, his mark clearly made on the training side. There was also one older horse. Let's hit a couple of highlights from the weekend, John, from Santa Anita, beside what we have already talked about, you know, mentioning Mrs. Painter's win in the Astra yesterday and Nadal, a race that had come up last week on the air, that just a 5.5 turf sprint on Friday. And I went back and I hadn't seen it live, so I wanted to see what happened. That Odysseus, who I had mentioned, just because the association with Satish and the Odysseus that he campaigned, and that was an ill-fated horse that Tom Albertrani trained. But first-time starter at the age of four, a Candy Ride out of the nice Charm the Giant. So a well-connected, you know, a well-bred, this was the man. In fact, it might have come up with you, John, the McAnally bred, you know, Ron and Deb McAnally. This is for Cheyenne Stable and the Basses, and Odysseus debuts successfully and got 21-20 for those that, you know, that followed and still believed. Then into the Sunshine Millions card, Steal the Diamonds, the Unusual Heat, Mike Pipey for the drivers, Fashionably Fast in the sprint for Dean Peterson. It was the Harrises. Bob Hess sent out Matt Nelson's Wound Tight in the Turf Classic. How about Fast Enough for Rafael Becerra? And Craig Martin, homebred, the Eddington Gelding, 1160, Fast Enough. That was in the Cal Cup Derby. And in the Oaks, Warren's Showtime. And Craig Lewis, who's, I'll tell you what, winning races at a steady clip.
But one reason Craig's winning races at a steady clip this day is his association with Clubhouse Ride. The millionaire who he trained at Clubhouse Ride is absolutely red hot as a sire. There's a lot of excitement. I had mentioned Clubhouse Ride on your show at one point last year, saying that it looks like he's the next coming of Unusual Heat here in Southern California, and or in the state of California. By the way, congratulations to Jeff Siegel in terms of when you talked to him Friday, because he talked about Wound Tight, how much he liked him. And there's another one that I had 4-1 in the morning line and ended up, because of the size of the field and other contention, raised him to 5. He went off at 3, but Jeff liked Wound Tight a lot, and he won very convincingly at a nice 3-1. And then Jeff also really talked up Fast Enough.
Yep.
And what a training job by the former Gary Jones assistant, Rafael Becerra. As Fast Enough hadn't raced since May, when he debuted and won impressively in a 4.5 furlong maiden race, and he comes off the long layoff, stretches out to a mile and a 16th, and wins a really good ride by Tiago Pereira, who is really a very solid rider, a guy that, to me, he's another one. You give him the horse, he'll get the job done. And Warren Showtime was, of course, key for me, as you had talked about and Johnny D talked about, for Beat the Host, because got a nice 4-1. I made her 3-1 on the morning line. Thought maybe I was making her too high, possibly, and she ended up being a nice 4-1 in that race. And to me, the key on her race was the win in the Surfer Girl. I mean, she closed like a rocket in that Surfer Girl, and that was not a cowbred race. The field she beat, to me, in the Surfer Girl, was much stronger than the field that she was facing on Saturday. And she came out of the Surfer Girl, and they ran her on the dirt in the Golden State Juvenile Breeders' Cup weekend. And she didn't disgrace herself there. She finished there, but she had a very troubled trip that day. So she had the big win against Open Company in the Surfer Girl, a troubled trip on the dirt in the Golden State Juvenile. She gets back on the turf, back against cowbreds. And, boy, I was, to be honest, quite confident in her. In fact, I stretched the Beat the Host rules quote-unquote rules a little bit because they want you to stay within a certain guideline as much as you can. I know it's not etched in stone, and that's why I went a little – I went 7 minutes past the pulls time that they would prefer to throw that race into the mix because I liked this filly that much. And thank goodness I did that because otherwise I would have only had one winner on Beat the Host. So Warren Showtime, really impressive in that race. Not impressive from a buyer's speed figure standpoint, only a 72, but still, this is a very nice filly, and she's a clubhouse ride, and she's going to do a lot of good in the Calbred ranks, no question about it in my mind.
Well, John, good job, and I knew when I saw the dollar totals, sometimes when, you can take the pens, certain times, when I'm doing it, I'll try to beat certain favorites. Other times, you just say, this horse is just dominant and should win. So when you find middle price types, that will go a long way to knocking people out, and that's clearly the way it transpired. Well, John, good work, and we'll look forward to one more race day here. And next week, not next week, but the week after, right? I'll be in town. We'll see you then, and we'll talk before then. But the Lewis, starting to look forward to that, that first February Saturday, and getting the stakes calendar starting to really roll. And
Bob Baffert has 1,000 words aimed for that Lewis, so yep. That'll add excitement to that race right there. And by the way, with that win yesterday by Nadal, Baffert now just 3 victories away from 3,000 career thoroughbred wins. And again, Baffert's got the heavy favorite in today's first race, so if Murnith does win, that'll get Baffert within 2 victories of 3,000 thoroughbred wins. And, of course, Baffert a whole bunch of quarter horse victories to his total in terms of as a trainer, too. I don't know how many quarter horse wins he's got, but somewhere along the line, I hope somebody comes up with that stat because it'd be interesting to know what Baffert's actual total as a trainer is.
Well, that's Baffert's only starter on the day, so he can't tie or make any more motion toward that 3,000th win. That'll probably come next weekend, you would think, or depending on you're probably racing what, just Friday? Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday next week, and I think we got the Palos Verdes, I think, next Saturday. But all eyes, of course, will be on the action at Gulfstream for Pegasus. John, I appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Very good, Stephen. I'm certainly looking forward to your interview with, as I say, one of my all-time favorites. He's a tremendous trainer. He was on the Hall of Fame ballot for the United States last year. I think he's destined for the American Hall of Fame, Bart Cassie, and nice weekend that he had. But he's such a forthright guy. He's been very helpful to horse players, I think, on your show, because he's a guy that's pointed out horses through the years to say, I like this one, keep an eye on that one. And boy, he's right most of the time, which is pretty good as a trainer. I mean, he's got a good eye for a horse. And like you mentioned, Steve, think of the ownership power that he has. He trains for some of the best owners we have in the game. And I don't blame him for having Mark Cassie as their trainer. So certainly looking forward to that interview and talk to you again next week.
Thanks, John. John White, everybody. Cassie next. And in fact, one of the horses that he lauded was Enforceable when we talked last. Cassie next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice choice of scent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races and about 20 minutes left this morning, and it's flown by after a busy weekend and with actually quite a bit going on today. And as soon as Casey raises Mark, I knew that when Cassie said, can we go late, late in the show, usually he's the 9:35. That's usually his preferred slot, but he said, can we go late? And I could tell he was busy, but I think Casey might have him now, because I do want to talk to
Hello?
Him about... There he is, Mark Cassie.
Oh, wait. Were you trying me earlier?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the last 3-4 minutes only.
Oh, yeah, because I wondered. No, I never got the call.
All right.
That's the first time I came through. Sorry about that.
No, it's us. It's us then.
I'm on the move, so maybe I was in a bad area.
Not a problem. Mark, you were on the move. I mean, you were in Florida on Saturday, but the horses were on the move all over the country. Let's start with the big win and the action at Fairgrounds. And Enforceable, who, you know, kind of, I thought, got away at a very square price. And I thought was ridden a little differently and successfully by Julian.
Well, you know, that's Julian. He's that's his kind of horse. Enforceable is a horse that we had high hopes for, you know, early on. He's got a humongous pedigree, and I thought his, and I don't know if you and I ever talked about it, but our feeling was that with a better trip, he could have easily won the jockey club at Churchill. And then after that, David Carroll's just raved and raved about how much he's improved. And so we were expecting a pretty big effort. And yes, you're right. Julian's fitting to the T.
And on that topic, the other two stake efforts, and he's come up already this morning a lot, Mark, but in the Kentucky Jockey Club and the Breeders' Futurity, not that Florent rode him, you know, badly per se, but it just feels like letting him drop out of it and get settled and then come with the run, it senses to me that that's really what he wants to do.
Steve, I think you're probably right. I think that is definitely part of it. I also believe you're seeing a better horse. This is a horse that, like I said, he's got a humongous pedigree. He's been a big kid that needed to grow up, and he's growing up. And this is what you're looking for. This is where these two-year-olds that peak at two and then never get any better at three. You see that happen quite often. And then you find the ones that were okay at two, but get better at three. And that's our feeling with him. You know, he's an entirely different horse than Warrawell. Warrawell was always. This horse has just taken a while. And, I thought it was a big effort, a huge effort in that. I mean, to do what he did, he was a little wide in the first turn, and then to make that long move and go around everybody. I haven't seen a rag number or a thoroughgraph number, but it has to be fairly good, given the distance that he traveled. And I thought, well, he's making this big move. He may flatten out down the lane, but he kept running.
Big time. And, you know, set you up for obviously, you know, the opportunity to just continue along the path toward Louisiana Derby and Risen Star and the Warrawell path.
Yeah, I like the timing there.
How about the distance? You know, how about the added distance?
Yeah, that definitely brings a smile to my face. And I don't think you can ride them long enough for this horse. And again, going back to what you said, I think the way Julian rode him and the way he ran is just going to help him down the line, you know, with the more distance.
Well, we'll look forward to it, and great to have. And there's others, but one confirmed.
Mr. Oxley went through a little period where he hasn't had a whole lot of luck. And I mean, nobody has been more loyal to me than Mr. Oxley. So, and to all of us, you know, we just enjoy, he's just a wonderful man. And so it brings us great pleasure to have him have a win. And we had a great weekend because not only did we win, you know, three stakes, but we won them for three of our biggest clients, and which is always nice to do as well.
Well, and beyond that, you also, of course, Hendy Woods for Stone Street for Barbara Banky,
right.
The Maiden earlier on that card. Yeah,
she was all right. Impressive. You know, Julian and I, we talked about it yesterday. What happened with me was I made hotel reservations in New Orleans and made hotel reservations in South Florida, and I didn't decide where I was going to go until the last minute, and I ended up going to South Florida. We had, I think, something like, and counting today, something like 18 horses running in South Florida, so I went there, and Mrs. Weber came down, and she was lucky. It was nice for March the Arch, and she was there to lead him into the winner's circle, so that was special. You know, she has been just such a great supporter of our team, and, So I didn't really get to talk to Julian. I did talk to him after the race, but then we talked yesterday because he was back in South Florida. And, he's pretty excited about the filly. He thinks he's pretty good himself.
Well, in addition, the one horse I do want to ask about, because the colt came up in our previews of Fairgrounds, and that was La Coya Road. And I was slightly surprised that, although we've talked about starting horses on the turf and you know, that it's a little easier on them, but a mile and an eighth on the grass for a sibling of Tom's De Tot. And what's your read on you know, with one start under his belt, what's it going to take?
Actually, we were quite pleased yeah. with his performance.
All right.
You know, he's just not been quick to come around. We had done a lot of times what happens for us is we do all we can in the morning, and we feel like, you know, look, they're in a place where they're ready to run. They're not going to hurt themselves. Are they necessarily ready to win? No. But it is amazing how often you'll see these horses, you know, enforceable. Forcible's another horse. I mean, look at him. He reminds me a lot of Sir Winston. It took Sir Winston some time to come along, and I think too many times we're so worried about our win percentages that we don't run these horses, and you need to run them, and it makes them better horses in the end. And look what Enforceable was able to do. You know, it wasn't the smoothest of trips, but he, because of his previous experience, he was okay. And he could handle it. And as you know, that's going to become even more important the closer we get to the first Saturday in May.
Well, so many successful performances as we look around. You mentioned South Florida. We'll probably circle back if we have time to talk about some of these maidens that are going today at Fairgrounds, but I want to get to Gulfstream. You mentioned March to the Arch and Mrs. Weber, a big win in the Sunshine Millions turf, and Tyler Gaffleone could not have timed that any better. I mean, it seemed impossible at the 16th pole that he was going to get there, and yet he did.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to get there. I really didn't. And, he got away a little flat-footed, and I probably didn't have him as geared up as we could have for the race. And he got away a little flat-footed. When he did that, it kind of hurt Tyler's position all the way around. And then there was not a whole lot of pace. So it was quite a performance for him to be able to win. And then, I don't know if you saw after the race, he just took off and galloped out. He's a nice horse. But the pace was kind of crazy. It ended up hurting Perlin's Honor, one of my other horses. And but, yeah, we're quite proud of March the Arch. Could be, could be a big year for him.
No doubt. And same kind of, you know, the kind of predictable schedule for him.
I think so. You know, I'm not exactly sure. We always kind of look at Keeneland. I want to be ready for Keeneland and Churchill. And then, you know, that entire, when we get on the Triple Crown trail, there's a lot of great races for older horses on the turf, so we'll kind of probably head that way and go from there. I haven't really thought of it. I started kind of going over it and trying to decide which direction I wanted to go with him, possibly California for the I'm trying to think the mile race out there, but I'm thinking I might want to stretch him out a little farther. I think if you time his ride a little better, you time it well, he can run a little farther. So we may go a little farther with him.
Well, March to the Arch marches forward, and plenty of other live oak horses to talk about. But let's shift to the other successful major owner and finalist for Eclipse this week, Thursday, at Gulfstream on Thursday night, and Gary Barber, and of course got Stormy in probably the most potentially the most competitive category when they reveal the voting when it comes to Philly and Mayor Turf champion. But it was 260, who has been a kind of a favorite young filly for the house, wins the Gasparilla, and maybe she just wants to stay around one turn. And then, if people didn't notice yesterday at Gulfstream, Declaration Warrior, who is a half to Via Villaggio out of Ho Buzzard, a nice win, nice maiden win in what I think the second career start. And so Gary Barber gets into the picture over the weekend.
Well, there's very few weekends that he is not in the picture.
That's true.
I mean, you know, he amazes me. I love him to death, but we have a wonderful relationship, and he's a friend, and we talk every day. I told him kiddingly, I said, I may talk to you more than I talk to my wife, but we communicate all the time, and it's interesting. I talked to Edgar after riding, you know, after winning with 260, the Gasparilla, and I said, I'm not sure, maybe she's just a sprinter, you know, Edgar, and he goes, actually, she wants to run farther. He said she wants to, you know, make the lead, and he said she can just go and go and go if she'll relax. So, yeah, I came away kind of thinking the same way you were thinking, Steve, but I don't know. I may listen to Edgar and try her two turns again. I mean, her performance, even though she didn't beat a whole lot in the Stallion Stakes, was quite good, especially when you think she ran just as fast as Chance it did that day, and he's done big things. You know, the race out in California, the Breeders' Cup, it was messed up from the start, so we're not even going to – we'll throw that one out. You know, she was just – It was just a mess. So I'm not going to judge her on that one. And as far as the Declaration of War filly, the one yesterday of Gary's, she's a filly that we thought early on last year was one of our best 2-year-olds, and she's beautiful. I really, yesterday, Gary and I, as I said, we always talk it normally. One thing about it, Gary's about the most optimistic man you'll ever be around, and he, you know, so he's always kind of prodding me, and I usually say, well, we got a shot, so yesterday he said to me, he said, I really like her today, and I said, me too, and I seldom say that, so I don't know, he probably did okay.
You would think.
That's like, you know, $50 or something. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sure. yeah. Okay. I got it, because we're going to get short on time. I do want to ask about, I'm sure you're happy enough with the Smarty Jones draw for Lynn's Map, and the decision, obviously, to bypass the LeCompte in favor of the Smarty Jones Friday.
Yeah, I just, you know, the post was just impossible at in New Orleans, and the nice part was we were able to enter, you know, entries were the day before the LeCompte ran, so as soon as the entries came out, it was a no brainer what we were going to do.
Absolutely,
and we're expecting him to run very well.
Now, will he stay? How quickly do you send him over? Do you have?
He's actually going over tomorrow.
Okay.
And this is one of his first times to ship and run, so we want to get over there a little early. The other thing is, Oaklawn's paddock can be a little,
yes,
very close, and we want him to have a couple schooling days in there. So a lot of times we'll, if he was an older horse, we may just go over the day before or the early morning. But, yeah, we want to get him over there. And as I said to David Carroll, you know, he said, I'm just not, you know, I'm a little worried gets a little wound up. And I said, but this is all part of the learning curve to be good horses, especially the really good horses. they have to be able to shift and ship well. And I mean, got Stormy, you can open the van door and she'll go get in and kind of say, where are we going? And that's a, you know, that's an important part of the learning process. And so this is not going to hurt this horse to ship. I think it'll be, like I said, a good learning.
Are you going to send that filly of Jack Oxley's as well? Especially, she didn't draw if she's on the AE list.
No, we're not going to. Back in. We've got her. She's back in at the fairgrounds. Kind of what happened was we entered her one event on the dirt at the fairgrounds and it didn't go.
Okay.
So then we entered her at Oakland, and she got on the also eligibles, of course, because her papers weren't there because they were in New Orleans, because that's where we initially had tried to run her. But they have a one other than on the grass, which I believe is Sunday, next Sunday. And then so we're going to run her there. Jack and Noah is on his way to, you know, he's going to go to Sam Houston to run. He didn't draw the best of posts either, so we'll see. But he's going to run. He's extremely fast and training really well.
Let me get a quick read from you, Mark, on the runs today. There's another Stone Street Firster, the $535,000 two-year-old in training sale purchase by Street Boss. Lantano debuts today, going 5.5 on the grass.
Well, obviously, you know, we've had him. We got him down in New Orleans, a real pretty horse. It's worked well. He's done well. Anybody who knows New Orleans, you can't put him on the grass. So we ourselves have never breezed him on the grass. But Ian Brennan, who runs Stone Street, the training operation, has breezed him. They have a grass course, and he said he loves it. So they bought him, John Moynihan and Barbara Banky, they bought him at OBS over the synthetic, and he worked extremely well there. So most of the time, those synthetic horses will run on the turf. So I would expect him to run fairly well today.
Nice. You're also involved with the eighth, Flabbergasted, first time for Bob Edwards, $350,000 Uncle Mo filly.
She's a real pretty filly. She's got a big pedigree. Again, has trained adequately on the dirt, but I find a lot of Uncle Mo's improved drastically on the grass, so that's what we're looking for. You know, I've told you a million times, Steve, it's nice to win first time out, but it's not always our, you know, if it happens, good, but we're just looking for good experience. So we'll see. That's all we were looking for.
Now, plenty of good experiences over the weekend, and I've also got to ask you, back to Gary for a minute, the acquisition at the end of last year.
Untitled.
Untitled, yeah. What's going on?
I breezed him out of the gate Saturday, I guess it was, at Palmetto's. I did that because watching the replay, I thought he got away a little slow in his debut. He's going to run in the swale. I've been extremely impressed by this horse. I love everything about him. So we'll see. He's going to run in the swale, and he's the kind of horse, I don't think you've seen the best of him yet. He's big. He's leggy. He's already, I can see where he's matured from the day we got him to even now, and I think he'll continue to get bigger and stronger, and we'll see. But I would expect him to run, you know, very well on the swale. I really like him. I really do.
Well, always, always excited, and Gary, always willing when he sees an opportunity to jump in. And
well, I've said it plenty of times. You'll have a tough time finding a better man than Gary Barber, and the guy that loves horse racing. I mean, he loves horse racing.
Well, Mark,
and I love that he loves horse racing. Because we love it together. We're kind of dangerous, actually, together. Because you know, we're always coming up with ideas.
Well, best of luck today and going forward to Thursday at the Eclipse Awards with Gary. And, of course, you also – I didn't even get a chance to fold in Norm's nice stake win in
nice.
The Colonel Bradley. That was great.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So, Mark, thanks so much. Well done.
All right. You have a great day. Thank you.
Mark Cassie, everybody, and we'll head out. And tomorrow, you'll see the story that broke about a half hour ago. Empire Maker has passed away, and there was something amiss with him a couple of weeks ago. Word had sort of spread that he wasn't going to be able to service mares. So we'll appreciate Empire Maker when we get back together with you tomorrow. Good luck if you're playing today. I know that Gus looked at Fairgrounds, pick four, so I'll put that up on the website. And tomorrow, Andy Serling, much, much more. Lots of good action today. Want to thank everybody that joined us, and that included Joe Sharp and Greg Sacco, Johnny, John White, and Mark Cassie. Good luck today, everybody. Going to be late getting the archives up. Casey's out for a couple part of the afternoon, so look forward later this afternoon. Late. Like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Good luck. Talk to you tomorrow.
Let the summertime sun fall on the apple. There they go. Buick 49, black sheep of the angels riding down the line. We think there is a soul, we don't know. That soul is hard to find.
Racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries build.